No, people just don't understand what is involved in this. This is an art form. You know, I think that most people just think that I hold the camera and point it at stuff. But there is a heck of a lot more to it than just that. Hey, would you be at all interested in seeing the inside of the van?
This is podcast number 2 of the Jim Church School of Digital Underwater Photography, and the good news is that the podcast police have not yet shut us down.
This is Mike Mezgleski.
And Mike Haber.
And here we go again.
Today's topic, 5 essential camera settings.
On our last podcast, we talked about familiarizing yourself with your brand new camera and learning where all the controls were. On this podcast, we're going to focus on 5 core essential settings that you need to know what to set on the camera to get better pictures underwater.
So what you're telling me is that if I learn these 5 settings and adjust my camera appropriately, I will have the best chance to get good quality photographs underwater.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly correct.
Well, oh great Swami from the East, perhaps you can share what they are.
Let me look in the crystal ball. The first one is coming up, and that would be ISO. I see another one surfacing. Oh, here it comes. It's white balance. Followed quickly by image quality. And there, behind it now, color space. Finally, the metering pattern of the camera. So let's take a look at those 5 settings and see what we should have them set to. The first one is ISO. And basically, that setting tells the camera how sensitive to light it has to be.
Okay, so if I'm in Grand Cayman in June, and it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a bright sunny day, and I'm only in 40 feet of water, what do you think my ISO should be set at?
Well, there's a lot of light there, so the ISO can be set to a lower number. You can set it to ISO 100 if your camera has it, or 200 if your camera only goes down that low.
Okay, so now I jump across to the other side of South America, and I go to the Galapagos Islands, and I happen to get there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a cloudy day, and I'm at 100 feet. What do you think I'm going to set my ISO at there?
Well, probably it's not as much light as there was in Grand Cayman, so you may have to bump that ISO number up. You may have to go to an ISO 400 or an ISO 800 to let enough light into the camera to expose the chip so that you can stop action and get some good depth of field.
Okay, so if I go to an ISO 800, aren't I going to get a lot of digital noise?
Well, you're going to get some digital noise, and digital noise is the term that we use now that replaces grain. We used to talk about grain in film. Well, now we talk about digital noise with our digital pictures. And frankly, I would rather have a little bit of digital noise in the picture as opposed to missing the picture or getting a poorly exposed picture because I had the ISO set too low. The next setting we have to adjust on the camera is the white balance. And white balance basically tells the camera what color light we're taking the picture under.
Okay, so that means that we must have a whole bunch of different settings for white balance.
Well, there's about 5 or 6. The first white balance setting is auto. That's where the camera makes the decision based on what it sees. Then we have sunlight, we have cloudy, we have incandescent, we have fluorescent, we have flash. Okay, so those basic settings are what we have to determine before we start taking the pictures.
So it seems to me that we're not likely to set our camera for fluorescent or for incandescent if we're going to be taking pictures underwater.
No, incandescent or fluorescent would certainly give us some strange results underwater. You're probably going to want to set for 1 of 3, either auto white balance, sunlight, or cloudy. Those will give us some fairly nice results, and which one you pick is pretty much going to determine on which one you like best. So try a few shots under those different settings and see which one is appropriate for you.
The next setting is something called quality, image quality. What do I set for that?
Well, that depends on what you want to use the pictures for. One of the settings that you can set for is RAW. And we're going to get into RAW a little bit later on a different podcast. So let's put a hold on that one and talk about the others. And that would be the different varieties of JPEG pictures you can take. Either a JPEG high or large, a JPEG medium, or a JPEG low or small. And those are different size JPEG pictures that the camera will take.
So I guess I'm going to make a decision as to which of those JPEGs I set, a lot depending upon what size card I have in the camera.
That's one of the criteria, yep, what size card you have in the camera. Plus, another criteria would be, what are you going to do with those pictures afterwards? If you're going to use them for strictly web presentations, then you can shoot a low-quality JPEG or a small JPEG. You'll get more images per card, but you won't be able to blow them up very big. Our suggestion would be for you to use the highest quality JPEG you can possibly pick with the camera. You can always scale the picture down, but you can't scale it up. Our next setting is color space, and we've really only got about two choices here. We can either choose sRGB or Adobe RGB.
I like to compare sRGB versus Adobe RGB with two boxes of crayons. The sRGB box might only have 100 crayons in there, but the Adobe RGB box might have 200 crayons.
That's right. Adobe RGB will record more colors. sRGB is only appropriate if you're only going to use your pictures on the web, which can't reproduce as many colors. We recommend you set it for Adobe RGB and keep as many possible colors as you can, because if you use the pictures for printing later on, you're going to need those colors.
Now remember though, if you're going to use Adobe RGB in your camera, make sure that your computer is set for Adobe RGB as well, so that when you go to your monitor, what comes out of the camera is fitting up with what you have in your computer.
Last but not least, metering patterns. We might have two or three choices depending upon the cameras that we have. The first one is matrix metering. Matrix metering, the camera looks at the entire scene in front of it and bases the exposure on everything that it sees. Not necessarily a bad choice for topside, but underwater it might not be appropriate. Center-weighted metering, however, is something that we use more often. Center-weighted metering, the camera looks at the entire scene as well, but it takes the very center of the picture as being the most important, and the outside corners and things like that not so important. Then it comes up with an exposure. The last metering pattern is the spot meter. That's where it just looks at a small percentage of the center of the picture and bases the exposure on that. Center-weighted metering and spot metering is what we use the most.
So to sum up, with ISO, we try to set the ISO as low as we possibly can, 100 or 200 depending upon the camera. However, we'll jump up to a higher ISO if the picture environment dictates it. The second one is white balance. White balance, we're going to generally take a look at three settings. We're going to have auto white balance, sunlight white balance, or cloudy day white balance. We're going to make that decision based on what we like ourselves. Okay, image quality. We're going to have a choice between JPEG and RAW. And as Mike said before, we're going to talk about RAW a little bit later on in a different podcast. But as far as JPEGs are concerned, we kind of like to go with the biggest JPEG possible, regardless of the size of the card. Color space, our choice is simple. It's either sRGB or Adobe RGB, and we will always set our cameras up and our computers up for Adobe RGB. And then finally, as far as our metering pattern, we're not too crazy about matrix metering for underwater, but we're going to be very happy with either center-weighted metering or spot metering. So there you have it, our second podcast, and nobody's shooting any bullets at us yet.
If you have any questions or you want to email us, please use the email address of podcast@jimchurchphoto.com. And don't forget, stop by the website, www.jimchurchphoto.com, where you can get the archive version of the podcast as well.
Okay, so until next time, this is Mike and Mike, and we will see you soon.
For your information, hairdo, there is a major network interested in me.
Yeah, that would be the Home Shopping Network.
Thanks, Larry. Go wait in the van, will you?